I wanted to look at about our relationship with God, and how that if we have our relationships individually alive and vital with our Heavenly Father, then there are great things that God will make available for us to do, you know, to minister to one another, to open doors, to make His power known. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right? We've all read this. It is in the context of the revealing of the mystery. That which God had hid before the world, in verse 7, unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Verse 8, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, this period of time in which we live was one of the focal points of God's design, God's plan, you know, to bring this to pass. And as it says in verse 9, but as it's written, and God had written this in by the mouth and by the hand of Isaiah, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. You know, this time in which we live is such a remarkable time that no one could have imagined the reality of what we have. No one could have possibly imagined it, because it was something that was so beyond the scope of man's ideas and man's thinking. Because up to this point, all that man had to go on was the Creator God, Jehovah Elohim, who had made covenants with His people and promises to His people, and expecting them to obey Him and serve Him. This was the most that they could conceive of. That if we just live right before God, we'll be able to expect His blessings. And yet God had a greater thing involved. God had a greater thing in His mind and in His heart, which was the administration of grace. That beyond anything that the law could do, God would provide by grace for each of us. That we could have a relationship with God beyond that of a servant, but we could be brought into His household as His children. It says in the Old Testament that Israel was His children, but only by one thing, by God having been their Creator. This was not a position of relationship with God. Their relationship with God was in service. It was as servants. They could not expect to really be children and have God, the Creator, Jehovah Elohim, as their Father. Even though He was. Because He's the Father of all. He's the Father of creation. If you look back. Hold your finger here, but look back at Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64 is where this is written. Verse 4. 64, verse 4 of Isaiah. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside Thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for Him. You know, from the beginning of the world, like even Adam and Eve had no real perception of what God really had in store for them, if they would just simply obey His first simple commandment. They knew what God had planned for them, and they knew what God had prepared for them in the garden, and the necessity that they would just live there, they would tend the garden, and they would be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But really, the relationship that they could have with God Almighty, the Creator, they really hadn't quite figured that out yet. And all God asked them to do was that simple thing. Of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't do it. That's off limits. Had they obeyed, they would have seen, they perhaps would have perceived the fullness of God's design and the relationship that they would be able to have with God, the Creator. It says, in verse 8, it says, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou our potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand." From a position, they were the children of God. But as far as the relationship, they had none. They were only servants. In Galatians, if you look in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Now, Galatians chapter 4. Now, the time has come that we're no longer just children in service in the household. But now we are brought in to have the full privileges of sons and daughters before God. To be able to have a relationship with Him, which is beyond that of a servant, but is now made full by the Spirit that He has given to us. "And because we are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Now you have a relationship with God. Now it is more than just service to God. It is being part of His family, having a relationship with Him as your Heavenly Father, knowing Him intimately, as Jesus Christ showed by His relationship with the Father. Right? He was the only begotten Son of God. He had a relationship with God that was one of a son, not one of a servant. But what did He do? It says that He took on Him the form of a servant. He chose to be a servant, even though He was the Son, and He had that intimate relationship with His Father, so that we could now have an intimate relationship with God Almighty as a Father. And all the benefits that come with that. All the privileges that come with that. Yes, we have been made heirs of salvation, but we are now no longer servants. It says in verse 7, "Wherefore, because of that Spirit that God has given to us," He could not have the relationship with his Israel, His chosen people in the Old Testament, as a father, because they had not the Spirit. Now that we have the Spirit, we can have that relationship with Him. We can know Him. "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son," verse 7 says, "and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." This is the great privileges that we have. This is the reality of our lives, that we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That we can go to Him. We have access, like it says in Ephesians. We have access unto Him. And we know that we don't have to bow. We don't have to kneel. We are no longer servants. We walk in and we stand before God because we know that our seat is on His right side. He's brought us into this great privilege by making us His sons and His daughters, by giving us the Spirit. Now we have this great relationship with Him. We can walk with Him and talk with Him. We can open our hearts to Him, not being afraid of what He'll respond to what we're thinking or how we're feeling. He knows our frame. He knows we're dust. He knows we're not perfect. That's why we are now made His workmanship. They looked forward to it. Isaiah looked forward to it. Hey, we're your children, but we don't get it yet. We just have to serve you because we don't have this spirit that makes our relationship true and real. We're just the clay. You're the potter. We're in your hands. Do something with us to make us right. And He did. We are now a product of His workmanship. And we are made His masterpiece. His precious children. He looks at us and He says, "You are my masterpiece." Not because of what you have done for yourself, but because what I have done for you. And thereby giving you the Spirit, you now can have a relationship with me. Come unto me as dear children. Open your hearts to me. Cast all your care upon me. I care for you. That's what God says. I care for you. I know everything about you. I know what you need before you even ask me. That is the ultimate of care, isn't it? To know you intimately. To know your heart. To know every in and out of your heart to the point where He knows. When you go to Him and say, "Oh, Father, Abba, Father, my dear Father, this is my heart, this is what I'm going through." And He's going, "Yes, I know. I know full well. I was ready for you to say that to me. I knew you were going to say that to me. I knew you were going to ask me of that. And I've already done it." This is the relationship we can have with Him. And when we have this kind of relationship, the world can see, the world can know who God is all about. And when we have that relationship with God, real and vital in our lives, then we can fulfill that ministry of reconciliation that God has given to all of us as His sons. What did Jesus Christ do as God's Son? Well, He didn't go about imputing sin unto them, pointing out their stupidity. At times He had to reprove and correct, yes. But for the most part, He showed them God. He showed them who God really is and what God as a Father would be for them. That's our privilege too. That's our privilege. That's our joy. That's the ministry that God has provided and set us each before Him in. We have that. It's a ministry of reconciling men and women back to God. How can we reconcile men and women back to God if we don't know who He is? If we don't have a relationship with Him? If we can't look at someone and say, "Here, come on over here. I'm going to show you your Father." We can. And that's what God's called us to do. And He has given us the word of reconciliation to do it with. Not only the Scripture, but the words that we speak as God inspires. If we have a desire to make God known, God will give us the words. God will bring us back to His written word that we know, the right word for the right time, for that person that is in front of us, that which they just need to hear. And it will change their whole perspective of God. You can say one thing, right? It's what it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of silver, apples of gold on pictures of silver. Just here you go. Here it is. Don't you want that? I mean, wouldn't you want an apple of gold? Sure, especially at the price of gold these days. It's worth more than that. It's worth more than that. And yet God can inspire that because we have a relationship with Him. If we look to Him, then He will inspire. Because the world will not know. The world could not know God as a Father without Christ first declaring Him. And now we have been made the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And God is known by you. He is known by the love that you have for God and the love that is shed abroad in your heart. It just floods everywhere you go. That's what our lives can be. He has done something to us, these just clumps of clay. He has made us the most beautiful, the most wonderful, the most powerful of all things that He has ever done. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now. Now are we God's masterpiece. And He has prepared many great things for us to do for Him. As we just keep our relationship alive with Him, first and foremost. Nothing else is of any more importance than that relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. Because when you have that right, right? When you have this, the verticals right, all the horizontals take care of themselves. It's all just a walk in the park. Even though lions are growling at you. Even though the bears are roaring in your face. You know who you are in Christ. You know that you're more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. This is the walk that God's called us to. This is the life. You know, we have a great life. Whether anyone sees it or not, we have what we have. Right? So, Father, thanks for your blessings. Thanks for the way you continue to back up the promises of your word, the way you have made us your masterpiece. Father, that we can enjoy the relationship with you as your children. You as our loving Heavenly Father, ready to impart unto us all things that we ask of you. We're grateful, God, for that. Grateful that we can have such great peace in our hearts, knowing that your word is true. And that we have just been blessed beyond anything that we could have conceived, just as your word says. Thank you, Father, for having prepared these times for us. Thank you for having done such great and mighty things for each of us in our lives. And thank you that we have access to you. Thank you, Father, that you're working on our behalf, that there is nothing that you are holding back from us, your children, that you've provided all things for us richly to enjoy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy in having made these things available to us. And thank you for the excitement in our hearts that we have as we anticipate the great things that you have in store for us, as we turn our hearts to you, as we trust you 100%. Thanks, Father, for the way we can encourage one another to trust you, that we can believe you together and see great signs, miracles, and wonders following us. Thank you for opening doors so that we can make you known to others who desire to know. In that powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.